Today's reading is on religion from the Prophet by Khalil Gibran. And an old priest said, "Speak to us of religion." And he said, "Have I spoken this day of aught else? Is not religion all deeds and all reflection, and that which is neither deed nor reflection, but a wonder and a surprise ever springing in the soul, even while the hands hew the stones or tend the loom? And who can separate his faith from his actions, or his belief from his occupations? Who can spread his hours before him, saying, 'This is for God, and this is for myself. This is for my soul, and this other for my body.' All your hours are wings that beat through space from self to self. He who wears his mortality but as his best garment were better naked. The wind and sun will tear no holes in his skin. And he who defines his conduct by ethics imprisons his songbird in a cage. The freest song comes not through bars and wires. And he to whom worshiping is a window to open but also to shut has not yet visited the house of his soul, whose windows are open from dawn to dawn. Your daily life is your temple and your religion. Whenever you enter into it, take with you your all. Take the plow and the forge and the mallet and the lute, the things you have fashioned in necessity or for delight. For in reverie you cannot rise above your achievements nor fall lower than your failures. And take with you all humankind. For in adoration you cannot fly higher than their hopes nor humble yourself lower than their despair. And if you would know God, be not therefore a solver of riddles. Rather, look about you and you shall see him playing with your children. And look into space, and you shall see him walking in the cloud, outstretching his arms in the lightning and the descending rain. You shall see him smiling in flowers, then rising and waving his hands in trees."
So good morning again. You might be here this week because you heard that Cadillac First Congregational Church had an amazing new pastor. That's not me. Just so you know. I am filling in for John this week while he is presiding over the ordination of one of his congregants who studied to become a minister. But if you've been following along with our church life, you may know that John Dowd just started as our settled pastor last week. For a couple of years before that, we've had interim pastors and supply pastors helping us out while our very dedicated search committee worked to find the best candidate. Shout out to my search committee peeps! The interim and supply pastors each stayed with us a different amount of time. Most recently, Danny Veenstra walked with us in that interim role for the last 8 months. All of this has added up to a couple of years of uncertainty, variability, and transition in the life of this church. As individuals, we also experience transitions from weddings and funerals to job changes and spiritual growth. As we're in the middle of a transition right now, I thought it would be good to spend some time today thinking about and honoring these times in our lives. And so we're going to start, and I have some people who are going to help me by naming some of the transitions that we've had in the last year.
This is Troy. February, we got married after 26 years. Legally.
And this is Linda, and Jen and I were legally married as well on the Monday following the change in status. The other transition for Jen and I is the shift of, you know, her being critically ill for a very long time, but we are so appreciative of, you know, how the church stepped up, you know, to help us out. Not only, you know, when I had my concussion, but you know, being able to come and help Jen out and myself, and so I'm very grateful.
And the big cabin, I asked him my work out there.
In 2 years, Sam has gone from middle school, when I could look down on him, to high school, where I'm looking up at him. It's a transition I am still dealing with.
Lowell and I have been leaving our little hobby farm or whatever it is, our dog resort, I think is what it is more than anything else. And it changes relationships, and it changes your attitude towards material possessions. And when you think about it, it's really exciting.
I have three friends who had babies, and they are younger than me. This year, my neighbor just had her baby, and it's got more hair than I do. It's a beautiful little baby. So, you know, we talk about death a lot, but birth is a great transition.
My big thing is that our church didn't lose members during transition. There were many people who stayed loyal, supported pastors, both interim and supply. And for that, I'm very grateful for all those who have the strength of their courage and their religion to remain in this church.
Along the same line, I think this church owes Pat Ponsack Porter a big thank you, too.
Well, this wasn't a big transition for me, but I turned 18.
If we don't change, we don't grow. If we don't grow, we aren't really living. Gail Sheehy.
We all know that we don't want to know how sausage is made, but I'd love to know how Jimmy Dean was made, because he has a lovely quote, which I've misplaced, but I think I can say it. So typical. I can't change the direction of the wind, but I can adjust my sails to always reach my destination.
Thank you. I think it's important to name and recognize the transitions in our lives. Sometimes we move really fast, so I thought it was important to take that time to do that. So this past week, I was hiking in the National Forest with some friends of mine, and we had a very enlightening discussion about forest succession. You guys are going to be with me in just a second here, promise. Right now you're thinking, forest succession? What? So this is the process of species change in an area over time. For example, after a disturbance like a wildfire or tree harvest, there's a clearing in the forest. And the first species to take root in that area will be those that need lots of light. And they're sometimes called the pioneering species, and they take advantage of that space for gathering sunlight, but they also provide important functions to the forest, like controlling erosion. The next species to populate an area will be ones that can grow and mature in less light as the canopy is filling out above them. In northern Michigan, we see a lot of beech maple forests, and this is sometimes referred to as the climax forest because these species can sustain themselves in this succession model. A healthy forest has many different species in it, and since they all have slightly different resource needs, they are able to mature and thrive in various conditions and take advantage of different ecological situations. I think that this is a helpful way to think about congregational life. We have ever-changing dynamics based on the people who are here and the events happening both inside and outside of our church. When people leave or roles change, there may be a sense of loss or sadness surrounding that. But that also leaves an opening in our canopy. Hopefully not a real opening. This can be the right moment for new people, relationships, or events. It is good to know the history, and it is also good to embrace new opportunities. This model can help us frame a transition not as a crisis, but as a natural part of our ecosystem, and something that helps us develop and learn. Too often, I think people view a transition passively as something that happens to them, rather than realizing that change gives us options for growth, and we can be active participants in this process and therefore affect the outcome. I'm going to say that again because I think it's so important. We can be active participants in this process and therefore affect the outcome. So I'm going to make you guys be active participants again because this is what I like to do. You should have known when you came to church this morning that I was going to make you work. So I want you to think about the transitions that we've had in our lives over the last year. Mostly I want you to think about our church life, but if you're newer here, it might be more helpful for you to think about your personal life. Focus right now on something that made your stomach clench, something that was a moment of frustration, a change that made you mad or sad or anxious. Something changed and you didn't like it. There's pieces of notepaper at the end of the pews. Sometimes people feel it's helpful to jot down notes while we are reflecting. So thinking about that challenging moment, I want you to think of something good that came out of it. Maybe we gained knowledge that we can use another time. Maybe we learned something that can change our understanding. Maybe we made connections. What did we learn about ourselves? I'm going to give you a couple minutes to think about this and feel free to write things down. So now I want you to find a friend in the audience and share with them what you were thinking about. You can find somebody that you don't normally talk to, like not necessarily your spouse that you're sitting next to. You can move. It's okay. Okay, so now that you've had a little bit of time to share your experiences with at least one other person, I'm curious the sorts of things that you guys are talking about. You don't have to share with the whole congregation all of the details if you don't want to, but I'd like a few people to share the sorts of things that you guys talked about. So is anybody willing to share a thought?
Mary, and at first I didn't think I had anything this past year, but then it occurred to me that Diana and I have experienced two of our best friends coming down with Alzheimer's and watching them fail, and one is no longer around this area, and just I think it causes us to appreciate the good times that we're still able to have with that other one, and just in general, as we age, being able to do the things we can still do and enjoy.
You mentioned your search committee peeps, and that got me thinking, Sarah. Before we became aware of John, we had gotten very, very close. As a committee, we couldn't make that decision. So that was hard, because we'd done a lot of work, we thought we had it, and then, gotta start over again. But I think we learned a lot about ourselves and what we needed through that process and with that experience. And now I am so relieved and pleased that we waited for John, because I think John is absolutely what we've needed.
Thank you.
Other thoughts? You didn't pay attention to the instructions, Robin?
I didn't pay attention to the instructions, and I know that's typical, and I lost the quotation thing, and I think God has a way of working with me, and I had the loveliest exchange with this lady here, and we found a very common experience, and it was really wonderful. So there.
I'm glad you made a friend, Robin. Thank you. Other thoughts about the good things that come out of transitions?
I don't want to reveal the whole thing, but I found that a particular transition of mine that I was part of had an effect on a number of other people, which I didn't intend or expect. And I think that's often true, because there's a lot of fallout and sharing and mystery that happens when you start on a new path.
What a beautiful thought to think about the unintended things that happen that can still really be ripples of goodness. I was thinking about being on the search committee as well, and that sense of, I've been on search committees at work before, and they're much shorter. It's like a month, and we find our candidate and we're done. And this whole like multi-year endeavor was exhausting. But there was also that sense of how important it was, and the responsibility that we took very seriously from you guys. And I felt that constant sense of like not knowing what was going to happen, and uncertainty, and wondering when we were going to find the person. It was really hard. But it really felt like, as a search committee, we really got to know our congregation so much better. And I felt like that was such a revelation to me. I thought I knew you guys. Like we're good. I know you guys. But that sense of really kind of getting to go deeper and thinking about people as individuals as well as a congregation, and how that group chemistry works, and also how we interact with pastors. We learned a lot about that, and I thought that was really interesting. So, any other thoughts about good things that come out of transitions? Thank you for sharing, everybody. I'm going to walk slowly back this way just in case there's anybody else who wants to talk. This is your opportunity. Okay. Being able to reflect on what we've learned through previous transitions can help us become more resilient in the future. We can utilize the knowledge we've gained in past experiences to improve our future interactions. But we also gain flexibility and adaptability when we exercise our mental muscles in review and analysis. And as we build resiliency, we are stronger as a church community. After a big maple tree falls over, it can be hard to imagine the forest without it. It is okay to mourn the change and remember the maple tree for what it brought to the forest. Think about the people, events, policies, relationships that have been the maple trees in our church. And yet, a tiny birch sapling can grow in that space where there is now much more light. Let us acknowledge and encourage the birches in our midst. Relationships, landscapes, moments. We may not even know the birches right now, but they will pop up over the next couple of years. Not all of them will survive. But just because it's a birch tree instead of a maple tree doesn't mean that it can't. There is a level of risk involved in any new venture. But there are also things that we can do as a community to encourage each other to be bold enough to take the risks that help us grow. As we move forward in our relationship with a new pastor, let us think of ourselves as similar to the natural resources in a forest. May we be like sunshine to new people who walk through our doors. May we nourish new ideas like the soil nourishes new plants. May we find the space for everyone to grow. And may we remember to be grateful for both tall trees and the openings in the canopy. Amen.